The deal was made. I called Canada to share the news with my folks. Mom didn't know Steven Spielberg from Cecil B. DeMille. "That's great, honey," she said, adding, "just don't let him wear you out." For the next 3.5 months, the combination of Back to the Future and Family Ties swallowed me whole. A Teamster driver would pick me up at 9:30 a.m. and take me to Paramount, where I would spend the day rehearsing that week's show, culminating in a run-through at approximately 5 p.m. each afternoon. Then at 6, another Teamster driver would pick me up and shuttle me to Universal Studios, or whatever far-flung location we were based at that evening, where I would work on the film until just before sunrise. At that point, I'd climb into the back of a production van with a pillow and a blanket, and yet another Teamster driver would take me home again, sometimes literally carrying me into my apartment and dropping me onto my bed. I'd catch 2 or 3 hours of sleep before Teamster driver number one would reappear at my apartment, let himself in with a key I'd provided, brew a pot of coffee, turn on the shower, and then roust me to start the whole process all over again. While both Zemeckis and Goldberg seemed to be satisfied with the quality of my work, I was beginning to have my doubts. A few weeks into the process, there were times on the sets I didn't even know where the hell I was anymore. How could any of this shit be any good? And so, in London, perched on the edge of my hotel bed, the heel of my right palm kneading my eye sockets in an attempt to short-circuit the shooting pain of my hangover, I could formulate only one response to Peter Benedict's announcement that he had just seen Back to the Future. "I'm sorry, Pete. I know I sucked. I'll do better next time." "You're crazy," Pete laughed. "You did a great job. I'm telling you that the movie is going to be a monster." The phone call had been like a lightning bolt. It suddenly all made sense. Now I could connect a free-floating sense of doom I've been carrying around with me through the past few weeks with an actual impending event. It was a sensation that would repeat itself over the course of many movie openings in the years to come. I was approaching a moment of truth, a crucible. There was absolutely no way I could affect the way it played out. My success to that point had been so unexpected that I regarded the whole thing as a matter of luck. Would the luck hold? That seemed too much to even ask for. I said goodbye to Pete and hung up the phone. I shuffled over to the minibar, cracked open a bottle of beer. If this was the beginning of the end, I had to admit, it had been a hell of a ride. The ride, it turned out, was only beginning.